Verse 12, and I turned around to see the voice that was speaking with me. As I mentioned, we enter now into the five verses, verses 12 through 16, describing what and who John saw when he turned around. It's obvious that it is Jesus, the resurrected, ascended, glorified, and enthroned Son of God, Son of Man. How do we know that? Among other things, because of verse 18, which says, I became dead, and lo, I am living. It is Jesus, the Anointed One, the God-man, who in resurrection body has assumed the throne as Almighty God. He is in his heavenly sanctuary, and John sees him in all of his glory. And he sees the sanctuary of God in all of its glory. I've never seen it. As most of you are aware, I'm not dead quite yet. There would probably be some that would question that. But I have something more sure than sight. I have the Word of God. And as we always do in this church, we'll let that be the further attestation and documentation of what John saw and heard as we sift through the Scriptures for the same and similar language in the encounters with the presence of God. In advance of that, though, I want to spend just a little bit of time strengthening and fortifying your faith in the person of Jesus. As we've seen so often in the past, false or mystical impressions or perceptions or so-called visions of God the Son are not faith-building, but they are destructive of the Christian faith, and they leave people weak and faithless where they should be strong. We have the historical facts of Scripture as the Word of God describes Jesus as a babe in a manger and in the arms of his mother. We have the historical facts of Scripture as the Word of God describes this Jesus as a man teaching his disciples and healing the crowds and confronting Pharisaical Judaism. We have the historical facts of Scripture as the Word of God describes Jesus as a suffering servant of God moving relentlessly toward Jerusalem and contemplating his obedience to the will of his Father. We have the historical facts of Scripture as the Word of God describes Jesus in his intense suffering and his death and in his burial. And we have the historical facts of Scripture as the Word of God describes his resurrection and then his ascension to glory, the glory cloud, sanctuary of God to receive his inheritance. And all of those things are historical fact as recorded in God's holy inspired word. And we can contemplate those. We should contemplate those. They are an indisputable and uneradicable history of the salvation of mankind and indeed the salvation of the entire creation itself. But are any of those periods of Jesus' history the reality now? In other words, why should Jesus ever appear to anyone now as a babe? Or why should anyone ever see a vision of Jesus now as a man feeding 5,000 people on a hillside? Or maybe healing the sick? Why would Jesus appear to anyone in a vision as he appeared at the Last Supper, communion? Or why would Jesus ever appear to anyone right now, bleeding and dying or hanging on the cross? That's not the reality now. The reality now is as he appears to John in the Revelation. He is presently enthroned in the heavenly real sanctuary of God. And John describes him as he now appears in the text, you see. So when folks claim that they have seen Jesus in a vision and he appeared to them somehow as he was in 30 AD, they've seen the wrong Jesus. It's irrefutable proof that they're just conjuring up stuff. That was 2,000 years ago in this history of this creation and the history of mankind. Jesus has not appeared that way since. And as we continue to build our faith in the person of Jesus the Christ, let's just consider for a couple of minutes the body of Jesus. The scripture indicates that, as prophesied in the older scripture, the second person of the triune Godhead did indeed take on the form of man. Before that specific time in creation history, God the Son had no human form. In the birth of the baby, then named Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, as was prophetically required of Mary, God the Son took on humanity. He took on a human body. He lived 30 some odd years sinlessly in active submission to the sovereign will of the Father. And in the fullness of time, all prophesied in the Word, Jesus, God-man, Jesus, was crucified, descended into death, Hades, and was buried. On the third day hence, he bodily arose out of death. And some days after that, in created space and time, he ascended bodily into the glory cloud and entered the throne room sanctuary above the heavenlies. Get this now. This human Jesus entered the real sanctuary where he received all the glory that he had before he was born. The human Jesus took on the glory that was his before he was born human. There is a human being now like us in the heavenly sanctuary. Further, the man Jesus, for his faithfulness to the will and purpose of the Father, has been given all the nations as his inheritance. Born of the Spirit, born of a woman, this Jesus now has a crown, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King over all the nations. Further, the man, Jesus, is invested with all power in heaven and upon the earth. A human being like us in the heavenly sanctuary has all power over everything. Amen. This man, like us, now exercises sovereignty over every creature and over all the creation. Further, as if there was a further, this human Jesus, as seen by John, as recorded by John, now appears as the one born, the one dead, the one living, the one glorified God-man. He is God. You must ponder that. You have to meditate on it. Got to digest it. For herein is the gospel of Jesus Christ, without which no man can be saved. The gospel is the power of God into salvation for all of those who are faithing. The man, Jesus, the Christ of God, did all this in order that mankind might be rescued from its captivity in deadness. And even this creation itself, according to Paul, groans for its regeneration. We have a real man on the throne of God. We are like unto him, and those who belong to him are in him, you see, because we are human, and he is human. So, now I think we can go to the text and understand just a little bit better John's description here of the glorified Jesus Christ, God the Son, God the man. And here it is. Verse 12. And I turned around to see the voice that was speaking with me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, like a son of man, having been clothed upon to the feet, having been wrapped at the chest with a golden girdle, his head and hair white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes as flaming fire, and his feet like burnished brass, as in having been fired in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and having seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth, and his face as the sun shines in its power. One like the Son of Man in the midst of seven golden lampstands. I'm sure you'll bear with me when I say to you I'm thoroughly intimidated by this. Yeah, it's frightening to have to preach it. While Flo was ill, study time was just non-existent. And for 3 weeks I wasn't able to approach the text, and for 3 weeks I dreaded approaching the text. I don't know how anybody could ever adequately deal with it. We'll do the best we can and trust that everybody will be edified. As we've seen on several occasions from the older scripture, in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was a golden lampstand just outside the Holy of Holies in the holy place. It was a single lampstand, and it had seven branches and seven lamps on each one, on each one of those branches, and they were fueled continuously with oil. And as you may remember, it was an earthly man-made picture of a heavenly reality, and that reality was the perfection. Remember, perfection is indicated by the seven. It was a perfection of the covenantal unity of God's people, the church, fueled continuously by Holy Spirit. But here in our text, we have something new, don't we? We have one like the Son of Man appearing in the midst of seven lampstands. Seven golden lampstands. Not a lampstand with seven lamps, but seven lampstands. And John doesn't mention seeing a fuel source for the lamps. That question has to be asked, doesn't it? And of course it has to be answered. What has happened here? What's the difference? Why is Jesus standing in the midst of seven golden lampstands, since the man-made temple was required to be furnished with a single lampstand with seven lamp bowls with a fuel source running to each one? Single fuel source. And of course the answer is the ascension to the throne of God by Jesus the God-man. Before his resurrection and his ascension, the church had this centralized national character, didn't it? And the unity of the church was focused in geographically in Israel, in Jerusalem. The covenantal people of God was Israel. But after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the church, the new Israel, according to Scripture, is multinational and multi-centralized. The church is still a seven. It's still a perfect unity. But what holds it together is no longer a covenant with one nation in a special holy place of real estate. The unity of the church is now centered in Jesus. The church is no longer a covenanted nation or one national covenanted nation, because it's been sent in all of the nations in all of the world in order to take dominion in the name of the newly crowned universal King of the nations. There's no longer a special place on this earth that is holy. Rather, the whole world has become holy place because Jesus has redeemed it. And the glorious sight that John describes here is a blaze of glorious light because of Jesus, who is in the midst of them. It's he who holds them together, if you will, as a seven. And it is he who feeds them and causes them to shine brightly in the world. He feeds them from his body and his blood. That's what this symbolizes. It's a covenantal sign and seal of these very things that we're looking at here in the text. In that which is to be done quickly, Jesus will terminate the covenant with the nation symbolized by the single lampstand and covenant with the nations of the earth as their king. And his church, pictured here by seven lampstands, will shine upon the whole earth with his glorious light. And all the earth will see their good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. We'll see all that again when we come to verse 20, and we'll then have an opportunity to discuss the seven lampstands, the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven stars in Jesus' hand. I'm going to hold off full exegesis and explanation of those until that time. But the imagery here in verses 12 and 13 is of Jesus, the ascendant to the throne of God. Emmanuel, God with us. He is in the midst of his entire church, for which he died and was resurrected. He is the one lampstand from whom all of the church receives its nourishment and, of course, its light. While the voice is speaking, verse 12, it's a sense of the verb here in the text. While the voice is speaking, John turns to see the voice that was speaking to him. And what he sees is seven golden lampstands and like a son of man in the midst of them. Where is Jesus, the son of man, prophesied? It was Daniel. In the midst of a revelation of the four great civilizations, civilization-changing, worldwide kingdoms of the earth. Receive this revelation of the four civilization-changing kingdoms of the earth in all of the earth's history. And it was he who received the vision of Jesus being crowned King of Kings. It was Babylon, then it was Persia, then it was Greece, and then it was Rome, lastly. Then, the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ. Listen to it, Daniel chapter 7. In my vision at night, I looked. There before me was one like a son of man. There it is. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel chapter 7, 13 and 14. That's where the reference comes for our text this morning. Jesus is quoting, John is quoting Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel's vision, the Son of Man, the one born of a woman, crucified, dead, buried, resurrected on the third day, and ascended to the throne, is prophesied as the king of the fifth great worldwide civilization-changing kingdom of this earth. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's Daniel's vision directly from God. That's, as John sees him, that's the description of him that he writes. The Son of Man, directly from Daniel's prophecy, it's the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of Daniel's prophecy. And he's standing in the midst of the lampstands, all of them connected to each other by him, all fed by him, all lit up by him. Further, Jesus is dressed as prophesied in Exodus chapters 28. And 29 and 39 in the robes and glorious golden ephod of the royal high priest of the tabernacle. So Jesus is the high priest of the church in whose midst he dwells and reigns. fiery light. That's the impression recorded by John upon seeing the Son of Man amidst the pure gold lampstands of the perfect universal church. The whiteness of his head and hair like the Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7. The flaming fire from his eyes like the throne also in Daniel chapter 7. And his eyes in Daniel chapter 10, flaming fire. I want to continue all of this. This is very important for you. Continue all of this as we come to this text again next Lord Day. Before I leave you this morning, I'd like to read portions of the first chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel. I've urged all of you to read this numbers of times as we've met together over the years. I hope you have. Every bit of the language with which John describes Jesus here in the Revelation is also revealed to Ezekiel. Listen carefully. First, here's verses 3 and 4. The word of Yahweh came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Shebar, and the hand of Yahweh was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a stormy wind came up out of the north, a great cloud with a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness round about it, and out of the midst thereof, as it were glowing metal, out of the midst of the fire. Continuing now at verse 22. Over the head of the living creature there was the likeness of a firmament, like the terrible crystal to look upon, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a noise of tumult, like the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice above the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man upon it above. And I saw it, as it were glowing metal, as the appearance of fire within it round about, from the appearance of his loins and upward, and from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And there was brightness round about him, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. Continuing this glorious picture of Christ is the statement, his voice as the sound of many waters. The Apostle John is identifying the voice of Christ with the voice of Yahweh, same voice, and the sounds of his glory cloud, a sound which throughout the scriptures from beginning to end resembles numerous earthly phenomena: great wind, thunder, trumpet, armies, chariots, waterfalls. Perhaps we should say that all these earthly phenomena were created to resemble various facets of the voice of God in His glory cloud. The conclusion of all this, which we'll see next time, ought now to be obvious. The resurrected, transfigured, ascended, and glorified Jesus is the incarnate glory of God. He is God. May God bless the reading now and the preaching of His holy word. Amen.